Lord, we have read and heard these words of instruction from you through Moses this day, and Lord, the instructions seem very simple. And we say, yes, it's easy to do. But Lord, when we try to live out those instructions, we realize how challenging they are at times. We pray this day, O God, that our hearts and our minds may be open, that we may receive a word from you that may help us in our daily living, that may strengthen us as followers of Jesus Christ. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at our world, we may notice political and social uneasiness and violence in many parts of society. As adults, we may recall when times were different. But what about today's children and youth? I have a few rhetorical questions while I often start my sermons. How does a child develop faith in God when there is so much unrest and ungodly behavior surrounding their young lives? How can parents help their children develop a faith in God? And how can churches teach a different way of living, sharing Christ's love with the oldest to the youngest? The Apostle Paul understood this challenge when he wrote these instructions to the believers at Rome. Don't become like the people of this world. Instead, change the way you think. Then you will always be able to determine what God really wants, what is good, pleasing, and perfect. As Christians, as followers of Jesus, we have a responsibility to help children and their parents grow in that type of faith. Whether we have young children, offspring who are now adults, or have never had children of our own, each of us needs to be ready to help all generations, and especially the youngest generations in their faith development. This is a responsibility that is deeply rooted in our biblical faith. At the end of their four decades of wandering in the wilderness, Moses spoke to the Israelites about what life would be like in the promised land. They were about to be scattered throughout the countryside. They would be confronted with and impacted by people whose values, lifestyles, and faith were altogether different from their own. It was essential that they devise a strategy for surviving and thriving as the people of God in this hostile environment in which they were about to enter. Ancient and contemporary Jews refer to Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5 as the Shema, because that is the first word of that. And in Hebrew, it begins this way: Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. In English, as we heard earlier, hear, that's the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words comprise the most important scriptural command that Jews from whatever generation ever learn. It's repeated at the beginning and at the end of each day by those who seriously want to live a godly life. And Jesus told those who wanted to follow him that this was the most important command that they could obey. Ever since Moses spoke those words, parents who want to have their children be vibrant and have a living faith in God have followed this command. And I want to suggest three principles based upon this morning's scripture that will help us to help our future generations to have faith. The first principle is experience. In verse 6, we read Moses instructing the people, "Keep these words that I am commanding you today in your heart." We need to notice that Moses' first concern that was that before parents or other adults can reasonably hope that their children will have faith, they must first model their own faith. It must be in your own heart, Moses says, before your children will ever try it out for themselves. Anyone who has ever encountered children for very long know that children watch adults, and especially children watch their parents, to pick up on behavior, to pick up on cues. For example, in the dinner table, if you're trying to introduce a new food to them, and if the adult is not willing to eat it, the child's not going to try it probably either. Eat your vegetables. Well, Daddy's not eating his vegetables. Children are always evaluating, are words and actions congruent? Or is the adage, "do as I say and not as I do," more often in operation? Children are extremely perceptive and quickly recognize whether there is a connection between their parents' faith and the way they live. Thomas Aquinas once told some students, "Preach Christ everywhere you go, and if necessary, use words." That's a pretty good instruction for all of us also. The second guideline toward helping our children have faith is the principle of exposure. Moses instructed, and we read in the first part of verse 7, "Recite these words to your children." Now, the King James Version uses the two words, "teach diligently," while the New International Version translates the Hebrew as "impress." And the literal meaning is to say something twice or to repeat it. And the basic idea is that by repeating the teachings of the law over and over again, parents will eventually impress it into the hearts and the minds of their children. To this day, Jews celebrate the ancient feasts of Passover and Hanukkah in their homes and synagogues, recalling every year the divine intervention of God in their history. Christians regularly observe the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, which we've both done this month. And we also celebrate the seasons of Advent and Christmas and Lent and Easter. It's our way of telling the story of our salvation over and over again, and thereby keeping our faith alive. The message never gets old. Unfortunately, most contemporary celebrations of the Christian faith are largely confined to the church. We'll go to the church to celebrate, and then we'll go home and do our secular celebration. Consequently, relatively little is done in our homes, which is intended to keep our faith alive. If our children are to develop a faith in God, it has to become more than a couple hours on the weekend experience. There needs to be a reinforcement in the home. Human beings learn best when they are immersed in a subject matter. When one's faith is relegated to a few hours per week, we do not permit enough time for our faith to really grow. I know that some parents worry about pushing their children to make a statement of faith, to make a profession of faith. But the solution is not to do nothing at all. We as adults pound into our kids' heads the necessity of making good grades and the urgency of getting a good college education or finding a job after high school. We repeatedly talk to our kids about responsible social and sexual behavior. We warn them about alcohol and drug use. We prod them towards success in everything they do. We spare no expense to make them pretty, poised, popular, positive, and prepared to face the world. And apparently, many parents are doing this with little or no reference to God or their faith. To you in the congregation today who are parents, no matter how old your offspring are, what have you done to help your children develop their own faith in the eternal God? The third way to help the children have our children have faith is the principle of encouragement, which we see in the last portion of today's scripture. For Moses further instructed God's people with these words: talk about these words when you are at home and when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise. Bind them as a sign on your hand, fix them as an emblem on your forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. If we follow these instructions, parents are actively encouraging their children's developing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But parents should not have to do it alone, and that is where the church factors in. On the first Sunday of each month, we collectively read our church covenant prior to celebrating the Lord's Supper. And we read in part together these words: having been led as we believe by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus the Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care, for the service of Christ and his people. Earlier in this service, parents and congregation made promises to support each other in providing religious training for Amelia as she matures. This is a serious commitment all of us have made. And how will each of us participate in that? Our Christian education program is one of the issues that church members will discuss at our town hall meeting in 2 weeks. What are we as a congregation doing to provide support for parents and religious training for our children? A contemporary hymn by Margaret Clarkson includes these words: let us build to teach our children God's great glory, power, and grace. If that is one of our goals, how are we doing? Will our children have faith? Will or do your children have faith? In large measure, that depends entirely upon each of us. So if it is left entirely up to us with that responsibility, what is the answer to the question? Will our children have faith? Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are all the children of your house, and you have done so much to raise us up in the way that is right. You have not left us to stumble through this world. And now, Lord, shall we not listen to your words and commit ourselves to your care in such dangerous days as these? Or shall we let our children wander in their own willfulness while we are safe? We ask you to strengthen us, so that we make our homes and our church into places where you and your ways are honored, where your authority and love prevail. Let your name be glorified in our homes and in our church. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.